Greetings, fellow investigators, and welcome back to our video podcast, Into the Darkness, where my friends and I play the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. I'm your host, Tom Rayleigh. Our scenario is entitled Fingerbiter. It was written by Michael Labossiere, and this is episode 2. I'm your game master, and Kurt LeBlanc will be giving the recap as his character, Alexander Dresden. That being said, the players are ready. Let's begin our journey into the darkness. Kurt?
Thanks, Tom. I apologize to my fellows in neighboring rooms if the tap, tap, tap from my Remington Rand portable kept you awake last night as I typed the following. Our trip to Dunval, Scotland began upon receiving a letter from my lifelong friend, Clarence McDougall, who expressed a dire and urgent need for help. Clarence had traveled to Scotland in search for his family's history, where he met with some type of horrible disaster. I enlisted the aid of my trusted companions in the Blue Rose Society, George, Francis, and Albert, to accompany me on the drive to Dunval to see what misfortune had befallen my friend. Arriving by car, we found Dunval to be very small and made our way to the town's only inn. The innkeeper directed us up to Clarence's room upstairs, where we found him in a terrible sort, along with his assistant, David. Clarence told us that on the evening of his arrival, ignoring warnings from the locals, he went to search the ruins of his family's ancestral home, McDougal Tower. It was during the search he was attacked by some type of creature who bit off one of his fingers. In recounting his misadventure, Clarence seemed in shock, and possibly a bit mad besides, hollering about family gold and begging that we locate and return his lost finger. That evening, we walked to the ruins of the tower for a brief inspection and were surprised to find it a blast site, with nothing remaining except rubble. We then stopped into the town church. Pastor Gibson allowed us to peruse the records, where we learned more about the McDougals' dark history. It seems the McDougals were made extremely wealthy after discovering gold in their well, but in years that followed, the entire family succumbed to madness. After a rumored exorcism attempt to rid the tower of evil spirits, it is said that Ian McDougall blew up the tower, incinerating everything inside, and then carried on the family line in America. The other McDougals were buried, only to have their graves later desecrated. An old man we enjoyed drinks with back at the inn told us about the curse of the nine-fingered McDougall, as each one of them had cut off or somehow lost a finger. The next morning, Albert noticed an article in the paper from nearby Hallhane that four ladies of the night had been attacked in the days prior, and all came to with missing fingers. To learn more, we made the short drive to Hallhane, where we talked to the doctor who treated Clarence, the reporter, and visited the library where we found more articles about the recent attacks. It seems that Clarence's monster may be all too human. I'm worried for his sanity and health, but also invigorated that this case may help me form the basis of my next novel.
Excellent. So you're all still in Hallhane, and it's a sandbox. What do you want to do?
I think we left off at the library. Well, gentlemen, at this point, we've got an assailant on the loose who attacked the ladies, who has the skill to amputate fingers, which would imply someone with medical training.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. There seems to be a weird, you're going to attack someone and steal their finger, then to take the time and bandage it. That almost sounds like something a doctor would do.
Right.
Or a madman.
Well, it's odd that it's a completely different modus operandi.
Yep, I was thinking that too.
And that a town is small, there couldn't be too many people with that kind of skill.
Yeah, unless it was like a crude bandage, like just a piece of cloth wrapped around their hand, but I don't know. It seems weird.
Very.
So we left off with a couple options. We had considered trying to talk to some of the ladies, but it was still fairly early in the day for the women to be out. Or we could make the trip back to Hallhane or Dunval. Albert, I think you had suggested wanting to maybe try to talk to some of the ladies if we could find them.
Yes, I thought that might be a good idea to get a first-hand account of what actually happened, because I'm sure a lot of the salient details were left out by the press. Sorry, I'm being distracted. my thing's happening.
Okay, we weren't listening to you anyway. We were watching you a lot.
He's parading around with a blanket at the moment. I think definitely, yes, we should consider questioning some of these ladies of the evening. I think it might also behove us to actually see evidence of these injuries. Then we can establish how that was done.
Yeah. If we've been at the library for a while and it's getting close to closing time, would it be around the time yet, Tom, that a visit to the local stroll?
Well, I don't think you didn't find much at the library. You found a couple newspaper clippings. That didn't take you any more than half an hour. Mm-hmm. But you know, there might be some activity in that area. It's still early in the day, but you know, they have to do their laundry, and there's going to be, you know, I don't know when prostitutes normally sleep. Maybe they sleep from 2 a.m. until, you know, 10 o'clock.
I'll ask Siri.
No, you're carrying. You're not. You can't ask that question. Oh, that's
true. Siri, the prostitute, you mean?
Yeah. Siri and her two friends, Alexa and Cortana. Oh, shit. Nope. She didn't understand that I was calling her something.
Oh, she argued.
And ordered a prostitute. Oh, jeez.
That poor girl.
So what other potential theories or leads do you guys have? We've got evidence for sure of an attacker, possibly with medical training that, like Albert said, is definitely a different MO or likely method of attack than Clarence suffered. I'll also like to, when we get back, check on Clarence again. We didn't see him this morning, assuming he was sleeping, so it would be time where we'd want to look on him again when we get back to the inn.
Well, we have the names of these four women, and they're in town where we are now. I think it would be in our best interests to at least make a perfunctory examination.
I think we could.
Go ahead.
Just going to say, I believe that we could probably make a little better time if we were to split up. We would only need really two people to potentially interview the females, and we could have the other two go back, check on Clarence, kind of get feet on the ground back in Dunball.
Yeah, Dunfall's only 20 minutes, so.
I think we've only got one car, though.
We've only got one motor car.
Yeah. Well, let's do it then. I believe the doctor pointed us in the direction of the stroll. We can head over that direction. Okay.
All right. So we'll assume that you drive down that street into that area. And go ahead and do a luck roll.
No.
No.
That's a no for me as well.
I got mine.
Okay. So, as you're driving, Francis, you're looking out the window, and you notice a few people around, a few ladies around. There's a lady hanging up some clothing on a clothesline, and she seems to be having a little bit of trouble because one of her hands is bandaged.
Oh, there's a lady with a bandaged hand right there.
Cool. So I would maybe slow down the car and maybe stop if I can pull over, see if she needs an assist.
She's like, I'm doing my laundry right now. Come back later.
Ma'am, are you one of the individuals that this newspaper article was speaking of?
Who wants to know?
My name's Francis Quinn. I'm just doing some research in the area. And can I attempt a charm roll?
Sure. like a charm roll would work on a prostitute.
I did make it.
He is very handsome.
I'm not sure that matters to them that much. She's like, so what do you want to know?
Well, you know, hearing about this story, there wasn't much detail involved, and someone just waking up without one of their digits is kind of a rare occurrence. I just wanted to get your take on the story, see if you remembered any more details.
Well, I can't remember much. I remember I was, you know, where I usually hang out in the evenings, and I could see, you know, a guy coming along the alley. I thought, you know, he was kind of in the shadows. And I really never got a look at his face, but when he walked up to me, I remember he sort of put his hand on my shoulder, and kabam, he knocked me out. I think he hit me with something. But you know, there's something weird too, because I swear that the hand that when he put his hand on me, he was also missing a finger.
He was missing a finger.
Yeah. But it looked like it had been gone for a while. I mean, it wasn't like bandaged or anything. And
it was more of what I believe they call a nub.
Yeah. And I woke up, must have been 2.5 hours later, and my hand was all wrapped up in a piece of cloth, and I was bleeding. So I, you know, I went and I told the ladies what was going on, what had happened to me, and they kind of helped me patch myself up a little. And then I'm right back at work. I mean, it's not a good life.
Have you, did you have enough money to go and see the doctor? Did you have a shilling for the...
No, I don't have that kind of money. And, you know, I'm kind of used to the pain, but God damn, this thing hurts sometimes.
How so? I mean...
Well, it's like it's still there. I'm like something's chewing on it. It's like it hurts right now.
Really?
Yeah.
That's maybe, absolutely terrible.
Maybe a nice man like you would help pay for me to go to the hospital and see what they can do for me.
By all means, here's half a crown.
Holy shit, I can buy the hospital.
That's 10 shillings. Come and see. Is half a crown 10 shillings?
I have no idea.
I should know that, shouldn't
I? And what that would be in 1920s? 1921? They don't call it a crown for nothing. The English royal crown cost exactly one crown.
It was two shillings and sixpence, 1/8 of a pound.
Okay.
2 and 6.
And you said, ma'am, that you didn't get any kind of look at him at all. Was he a large figure?
I don't know. I'd say he was kind of tall. I don't think he had any facial hair. At least I didn't see any facial hair. I didn't feel any facial hair when he moved into me before he hit me.
Was he a swarthy, foreign-looking type?
No, he was dark, so I couldn't really tell. He could have been blonde. He could have been brunette. I couldn't really see. But his hair was short. His hair was short. It wasn't long.
Did you hear anything?
Oh, just the sound of his feet coming at me.
But it was definitely...
I did the talking at first.
Pardon the question. I know it sounds strange. This definitely was a human figure.
Oh, yeah. Of animal. You know, the same thing happened to the other ladies, too. A couple of them. Oh, it's not. I forget that's something that I made. I got to look on here. Says... some of the other ladies, Emily and Margot, same thing happened to them, all only different nights and different fingers.
Did any of them hear the attackers say anything?
No. I don't think so. I don't think that he didn't say anything to me. Sometimes they just want to get to business.
Do they work nearby? Do you all live in the same building or same area?
No, same area. We don't live in the same building.
Are they working tonight?
We're always working. We gotta feed ourselves.
Sure.
What fingers?
Really wondering how a Bostonian got over here to Scotland. That's surely by happenstance.
What fingers were taken and from whom?
Well, he took my middle finger on my right hand. But I don't think the other girls got the same. I think one of them got her pinky taken.
Did you share stories? Did it seem like it was all the same attacker?
There's lots of creeps out there. It's part of the business.
Truly.
I mean, that stuff that went on a couple of years ago down in London with that Ripper. I mean, at least that didn't happen. I just lost a finger.
You should consider yourself lucky then.
I wasn't hurt. I was like, not like, except for the lump on the back of my head, you know, where he hit me. But I don't think he even bothered to use me. So I don't know what he was doing for 2.5 hours. Except sawing off my finger. It didn't look like a clean cut. It looked like it was more ripped off or bit off.
Good Lord.
There's freaks out there, mister. Some real freaks.
It's not what you expect in a little town in the Highlands, though, is it?
I know. It's like, but my guess is that you just don't hear about it, because, like, the only reason why we said anything to the police at all is because there was 4 of us. 4 of us over the course of a week. So now we're all being careful.
Yeah, please stay together.
Could you perhaps tell us where we could find the other 3 ladies?
Well, I don't know. Up and down this row somewhere.
Did you wake up where he knocked you out at?
I wasn't very far from there. It was like I don't know, I guess I got kind of the idea that maybe he couldn't exactly remember where he had picked me up, but he got close.
Sorry, I'm not following that.
Well, I mean, I assume that he took me somewhere. There's no blood anywhere in the alley.
So where did you wake? In the alley or somewhere else?
Yeah, I woke up in the alley.
In the alley.
Same alley, but not exactly the same spot.
Have you ever spent much time in Dunval?
I've been there a couple of times.
Have you ever been up to the ruins of the McDougal Tower?
Never. Okay. Nah, I wouldn't go anywhere near that creepy old place. No way. I hear there's demons or something that live up there.
Okay. Any other questions, fellas?
That's all I have.
No, I think that's...
Well, thank you for the money. If you want to come back later on, and I'll show you a good time.
No, I'm just happy to know that you're en route to the doctor. Make sure you do take a shilling to the doctor and get that seen too. I mean, the last thing you want is an infection.
She's like, now I'm gonna finish my laundry. Good.
What is her teeth situation?
What is what?
Her teeth situation.
Her teeth?
Yeah.
She's got 1920s English teeth. They're awful.
Why would she have English teeth? She's Scottish.
It's okay. She's got Scottish. She's
really from Boston, isn't she?
That's right. She's from Boston. Don't know where the accent just came out. Sorry.
I was either going to Jamaican or something.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not Tom, Jerry.
Tom, could you remind me? Which finger Clarence was missing?
I don't remember. We'll say the index finger, like in the picture. over here.
Well, should we take the time to find and question the other women, or should we assume that, you know, the story will pretty much be the same for all of them? It sounds now like the story is matching Clarence's pretty closely, whereas at first we thought maybe it was two different types of attacks.
Yes.
I'll tell you what. If you guys want to do a luck roll, if you guys decide that you would like to question some of the other ladies, I will have you do a luck roll, and if you pass, you talk to them, and it takes you about an hour extra. Otherwise, you can just go back.
Okay, I'll give that a go. 14. Oh,
nice.
That's a pass.
Okay. So all I'll say is that, yeah, you find maybe one of the other ladies, and she gives you pretty much the same sort of story. She has a different missing finger.
Different missing finger.
There's no additional information that she gives you.
Okay. Well, let's say we head back and check on Clarence.
Okay.
Real quick, have we established what days all of these incidents happened on? Or is that still a little scattered?
We haven't really laid a date on them, but we'll say they don't seem to have any pattern.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
They seem to be a couple of days apart, but sometimes it's 3 days, sometimes it's 1 day, sometimes it's random. Also, I'll just give it to you that the fingers that are missing, there's not really a pattern there either, that two of the ladies have the same finger missing and one has a different one, and they all feel pain. But these ladies are used to a good measure of pain anyway, so they're not freaking out about it the way Clarence is.
Can I ask, so whichever lady was the first to be attacked, so in other words, the oldest one.
Okay.
Is she still complaining of the same feelings of pain, like as we're talking to her, like it's being gnawed on as we speak?
For her, it's been almost 2 weeks, and yes, she still feels a great deal of pain.
Okay.
And it comes and goes.
I'd like to give half a crown. She's not a lot of money, but it's enough to go and see the doctor. It's enough for a visit to the doctor.
Okay.
Just to each of them in turn that we speak to, because you can't have people wandering around with untreated wounds like that.
Now, I would also say that they are in various stages of healing, depending on how long it's been, you know. So.
Well, they really need access to a doctor. You know, what this country really needs is a medical service nationally that will be free at the point of usage. That's what we could do with. I wish someone would sort that out.
All right.
Science fiction.
So, you guys are going to head back to Dunval.
And the timeline, just to clarify, some of these happened before Clarence and some after. So he wasn't the first nor the last. It was all kind of going on throughout the week.
Correct.
Okay. Anyone have any theories?
Not really, but the reason I asked about whether or not the oldest one was still feeling, I mean, if someone is eating a finger, they're not that big. I can't imagine it would take more than a couple chews to eat a finger. So I don't understand why something would still be gnawing on it after all this time.
Yeah. And a finger doesn't fill you up for very long, so we can assume there'll be another attack soon.
I thought maybe he was feeding him to his dog or something like that.
George, do an idea roll.
Took me a second. Okay. Wait, oh, I'm George. Oh, yeah. 50 is going to be a pass.
All right. Each of them is describing a feeling as if something is chewing on their finger. It's not necessarily eating their finger. It's chewing on their finger. So it may be something that's meant to be torturous.
Okay, that's what you mean.
Now, I can see, far-fetched as it might be, I can see why there's some folkloric antecedents for Clarence experiencing something like that. He visited a location that has a history of strange apparitions and so forth. His surname is McDougal. But why four entirely unconnected women in a different town?
It also lends a little bit more credibility to Clarence's story that if, you know, at first we kind of chalked it up to a phantom limb syndrome or phantom pain. Much more unusual for these women, also unrelated, to have the same kind of phantom pain and the gnawing sensation.
Hmm.
You know, you just said something there, Albert, that let's say this is a crazed man who's going out and attacking these women like that. Why on earth would he then go and hang out at the tower in the middle of the night where he knows, if he's a local, assuming, that no one would ever go there?
Yeah.
Like if you're out looking for victims, that would be the last place you want to go, unless like it's some sort of safe haven for them.
Yeah, that's the type of lair.
Well, I'm told that people like that tend to attack the same sort of person. For example, Jack the Ripper attacked prostitutes, women who were working as prostitutes. He didn't suddenly change his MO and start attacking men as well.
Unless that is his kind of hiding spot and Clarence just happened upon him.
Hmm. But why didn't he hide?
Easy prey. If he used to go into his prey, but in this case, Clarence came to him.
Very strange happenstance that it would be a McDougal at McDougal Tower and lose a McDougal finger.
Yeah. Coincidence, maybe.
But I do think it's at least worth a look.
The return of the nine-figured McDougal curse.
Well, it's still fairly early in the day.
Well, at this point, we're probably back to the inn. We can go up and check on Clarence, knock on the door.
I'll make it easy. You find out that Clarence is... He's not doing better. He's... Your encounter with him is one of, have you found it yet? Have you stopped this? It still hurts. He's kind of crazed. You can see that he's suffering sanity loss as this continues to go on. David is trying to be very helpful, but Clarence is even a bit abusive towards David, because David can't really do anything to make the pain go away. Mm. And he's frustrated and he's in pain. But you are afraid from just the progression in the last day that if something doesn't change or stop this, he's going to go start raving mad. Which is supposedly what happened to all of the McDougals.
The curse. David, I'm sorry, but terribly remiss of me. About a week.
You know, they're from the United States.
Everything we've noticed about David so far is that he's very compassionate, concerned, and helpful. Mm-hmm. Is there any, I'm just kind of watching him now, maybe a little closer, any body language or lapse in tone that might raise suspicion?
Go ahead and do a psychology roll.
Nope. I missed by 10.
So you can't really tell.
No.
What is David's build?
You know, he's kind of like, it's hard to tell because he tends to dress rather formally since he's the assistant. But I'd say, you know, he probably has a swimmer's body. He's an average height, kind of thin, young, good looking.
And what about, Clarence?
Clarence is in his mid to late 40s. And just average looking. Can't really tell how tall he is, but Kurt probably knows he's not necessarily tall.
Yeah, probably average build. Maybe about 5'9".
Maybe a little pudgy.
History professor's body.
Yeah.
American history.
I think he's more world history, but yeah.
American history would be more rugged.
Yeah.
Okay. So no real change, maybe a little bit worse in just kind of ramping up the sense of urgency about finding the finger.
He's more manic about it. Yeah, he's definitely, he's pleading at this point. He obviously doesn't have a very high tolerance for pain. The prostitutes seem to be doing just fine.
Clarence never did.
I was going to mention that. They're already out busy doing housework.
Man up, Clarence. Well, I think we've done all we can do here. No change in Clarence's situation. But what say we head back to the ruins, and maybe it's earlier in the day than the first time we visited. Maybe we bring... weapons, if we have them, some lights in case it, lanterns, flashlights in case it gets dark, and we really explore this time.
Well, I have a very stout stick that I can bring.
Okay. I have in pocket, then.
Well, you guys are Blue Rose people. You probably would have weapons, but that's up to you.
I have a 32.
Okay.
I'm
sorry, what was that, Francis? Levi?
Sorry, I have a Lee Enfield.
Oh, wow. Where is that gun of mine? Oh, yeah, here it is.
But it's sawed off.
Oh, well, if it's August... and we're heading up to Scotland, then I could bring a shotgun with me, and that wouldn't attract any attention at all, would it?
None at all.
That would be fine, going to Scotland with a shotgun in August.
Just hunting rabbits and whatever.
Up there for the grouse.
The grouse. All right, so you guys are going to head back to the ruins?
We'll take flashlights.
We have found a shovel somewhere, maybe?
Sure, that's not that hard to find.
Okay. A tower like this would certainly have had some type of probably underground portion, I would think. I wonder if there is anything intact below ground that survived the explosion.
Who knows? Maybe.
No.
So are you guys gonna do some exploring, searching around?
Yeah, in particular, I would be looking for maybe anything that might lead to a subterranean portion of the tower.
Okay. I will say that you guys walk around for about an hour, and you guys got here fairly early, so it's just now noon as you're walking around. You've kind of spread out so that you're walking. And you're looking at various stuff. It's a lot of blocks of piled rubble. not just blocks, but broken pieces. And you can also see that, you know, there might have been cave-ins if there was an underground part. Go ahead and do a spot hidden for me, everybody.
Did not make
it. 96.
I missed by 7.
I missed by 3 luck points, maybe?
You want to use some luck points? Okay. No. Go ahead, Jeff.
That's a good idea.
All right, Jeff. Or rather, George. George, you're walking around, and you notice, now, I mentioned that as you get closer to the actual foundation of the tower, nothing's growing, but there is damp soil, and there is, you know, some moss in places, and you notice something in the moss and the mud, or the dirt, that looks like it might be the edge of a footprint. A shoe, a boot. And it looks like it might be fairly fresh.
Wouldn't be ours, would it? We were just here last night.
Doesn't look like one that you would be wearing. Your shoes are a little more formal. You weren't expecting to be tramping around outside. This looks like the kind of a boot that somebody might wear. Now, maybe Clarence. But as you're looking, you see that it's definitely some marks leading in a certain direction, leaning towards something, towards the back of this tower.
I'll flag everybody else over to look at this.
What have you got?
It's a footprint. Could be anybody's, but might be Clarence's.
I think it was 3 days, I believe, or 4 days now since Clarence was here. Mm-hmm. Did the footprints look fresher than that?
It's hard to tell that, but there's been no rain or anything, so definitely within the last week.
Okay.
Are you going to follow them? There's definitely a pattern. I mean, they're definitely leading somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
All right. As you round the back sort of side of this, there's just as much rubble back here. You notice that the footprints are kind of leading towards a pile of rubble, but the pile of rubble looks a little bit different than the rest of the rubble. It looks like it's been organized a bit and in fact rearranged a bit. Almost to sort of boister up the surrounding bricks and stuff like that. And there is definitely a hole leading down into the ground. Mm. Now, I don't have your stats in front of me, so I don't know what your sizes are. But does anybody have above 60 on size?
I'm a 45. I'm okay. Quite wiry.
So if you were a 60 or higher, you wouldn't fit in the hole. But smaller than that, you could squeeze into the hole. And you do see that it's going down into the ground, though there's not stairs or anything.
Is it just like a dug hole, like maybe a larger version of an animal hole?
Well, it definitely looks like it's probably leading down somewhere, but What's most striking is the fact that the blocks and bricks around it have been arranged to sort of keep it from collapsing. And there were definitely human footprints, well, boot prints, right here. I should say also that there are some rather foul smells coming out of this hole as well. Part of it smells moldy, kind of like decay, but there's something else that's quite foul, but boy, you can't put your finger on what it is. Oh, that was a joke, and I didn't even know that I told it. I love it when I do that.
If we, so does it smell like the stench of death, or is it like a, like what would it smell like being from London, you know, like a, where there's dead rats or alleyways, garbage?
It remains elusive, you know. It reminds you maybe of dead rats, but it's not that smell. And it's something that you've never smelled before, but it's still quite unpleasant, whatever it is.
If we shine our lights into the hole, does it go straight down? Does it kind of go in and then kind of level out and curve? What is the apparent passageway?
It looks like it goes in a couple of feet and kind of curves to the side. The whole passage itself seems to be made of propped up blocks and dirt. It's not smooth in any way. It's kind of rough.
So for all of us who are around 50 or slightly more, but I think we're all under 60, it would be still a very tight fit.
Well, it's not that tight, but it would be tight if you were, it would be impossible if you were 60% or higher. So
well, I'd love to go down there, gentlemen, but I'm a little bit.
If, are you too big to fit?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll get a volunteer. If you, for going down, would it be like you're kind of shimmying on your back, squeezing through I'm imagining like a ventilation duct or something like that, or is it big enough that you could stand in or crawl?
Well, there's a number of ways you could go down. You could go down head first, but you'd have to crawl. And or you could go down feet first, but you'd have to kind of scoot your way down. You can't really sell far enough if there's a drop or anything farther in.
Can I step back and look at Francis and see if he's just?
It's also possible that you could widen the opening by moving some of the blocks and.
Is there any way to tell if this is the well?
Doesn't look like a well.
Because a well would be like straight down, right?
Right.
Well, it's curious.
Well, it's curious.
How long would it take to uncover the hole to get in?
I'd say if you worked at it for maybe half an hour or so, you'd be able to make it wide enough for... lucky Francis to get down there too.
I mean, you may not want to work on that.
Yeah, we're gonna have to take his measurements
because I'm smelling it too, and I'm thinking I might be too big to fit down there too.
Well, there would be a good chance that if it was a very large rat, the smell. It seems that it would make sense that maybe this is. It's later, as we were talking about earlier, that if it was kind of wandering around here and Clarence was just kind of bumbling through, that would explain his attack.
These blocks were not arranged by a rat. This is definitely somebody, probably human, who purposefully rearranged these blocks so that he could get down and that it wouldn't collapse on him. And his boot print.
Okay. Well, I say it's probably some old tramp or something living down there.
I just had a thought. You had mentioned that the church was rather well upkept.
Yes.
What if one of the local farmers has dug out the well or... just dug into the hill basically to try and recover some of that gold. So like this is a mine entrance and he's cutting off the fingers in order to promote the superstition to stay away from the hill.
There were no missing fingers from people previous to just a couple weeks ago. Although, yeah, that could still fit in your theory.
I wonder if anyone's come into any large amounts of money with the last couple of years. Maybe they struck the same thing when the users did.
From the looks of the town, it doesn't seem so. Now, the church, when I mentioned the church, I was this is kind of meta, but I was trying to tie into the fact that when Ian left for the United States, he left a very large donation to the church.
Oh, so, okay.
So the church had been built really beautiful, you know, quite odd for a small little town.
Oh, okay.
And we haven't seen otherwise anything or anyone that even had any type of similar smell. Is that really the first time we're sniffing this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you guys do a spot hidden?
Twenty-four.
I made it as well.
No. Okay.
Who got the better score? 24 and
I got 20.
Okay.
Yeah,
hard check. Well, yeah, that's pretty close for both of you. You guys are looking around and you notice right nearby there are stains on a rock and possibly the dirt that look like they might have been blood.
Is there a trail? A blood trail to the hole or anything? No.
No.
We're going to bring everyone's attention to it. I haven't already seen it.
Can we search that spot just in case the finger's there?
There's no finger there.
Okay, I didn't think so.
But when you search, go ahead and do a search as a spot hidden again.
So we would probably search under the rock by the blood.
I made it by one.
You do notice, though, now that there are a couple of other spots right nearby that look like they have blood on the rock or had blood. The blood's dry and it's brown at this point, but
are there any drag marks or anything there?
Doesn't look like any drag marks. And it doesn't look like a huge amount of blood. Maybe the same amount of blood you might lose after a couple of seconds of bleeding when you've lost a finger.
Is the rock, is it sharp or jagged? Could it have been used as a weapon to take off the finger?
No. The rocks, these are blocks and things like that. People always calling me.
They have marimbas in Scotland?
Yeah.
So maybe we'll kind of widen the search a little bit. If we saw the one block and then, hey, here's a couple more, then maybe kind of maybe perimeter out a little bit.
Well, you do notice that there are a larger quantity of footprints once you know what you're looking for right in that area. And this is the area maybe within 10 feet of that entrance. You find at least three different spots where there's a small quantity, not a huge quantity of blood, but definitely blood that splashed.
Well, gentlemen, I think it's clear where the path is leading here. Maybe we walk back and get some more shovels so we can make quick work of widening out the entrance so either we can get in, or if we go in, if we can get out quickly, or you know, more quickly than with a narrow entrance.
Yes, let's prepare ourselves for this.
Well, let's assume that, I mean, you're just right down the street, so it takes you all of 5 minutes to get a couple more shovels.
Well, I think I'm going to collect my shotgun as well.
And your shotguns.
Yeah, our weapons.
Yeah.
There's
some lunatic or dangerous animal in there. I'd like to be prepared for it.
Does it seem as though there's any tracks besides the boot prints that we were initially seeing around the place with the blood on the rock?
It's kind of hard to tell. I mean, maybe, but not other shoes. It's hard to tell. You don't notice anything that you recognize.
I wonder if another thing I would do since we found the footprints would be to take out my notebook and maybe if there's a tread pattern for the boot, maybe we can compare that with on the sly from Clarence and David and just see if we can verify it was one of them or Clarence when he was around.
Sure.
At some point when we came back to get the shovel, could I ask the innkeeper if anyone has come in recently and flashed some wealth around, like bought around for drinks for everybody here?
Well, just us.
Nobody. He says they don't get much in the way of strangers either. You know, once in a while a salesman or somebody will come through town, but that hasn't happened for a couple of weeks.
Okay. Oh, I said, here's a crown. Has anybody been flashing money around?
Yeah. No. Other than you, sir? No. And nobody's acted in any way strange.
Yeah, it seems like if anybody had recently struck it rich and made it known, you know, the old man from last night that we were trying to get drunk, or the innkeeper, it sounds like we would have maybe picked up on some local gossip.
Yeah, nobody.
Well, I think then very carefully then, so we don't collapse the whole thing, maybe to start removing stones, digging in a way that would help us widen the entrance to maybe at least get a better look and see if we get a sense of scale and how far it goes and in what direction.
Okay. But before you leave the innkeeper says something. Just as you guys are getting ready to walk out the door, he goes, you know, come to think of it, that there was that one guy. He was a salesman. He was here about 2 weeks ago. I remember he sat there with old McClarney, the guy you talked to last night, and they chatted about the McDougals. Yeah, Kenneth McKay. They chatted about the McDougal family and the gold that might be up there in the tower. I don't know why I remember that now, but it was like nothing. It's one of those stories that old people tell.
How long ago did you say that was?
About 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. You know what he was selling?
Oh, shoes.
Four-finger gloves.
No. Driving up business.
Yeah.
Well, he says if you've got some theory about that, I didn't see any missing fingers on the guy.
And did he just stay for the one night and then leave the next day? Has anyone seen him since?
Actually, I don't even think he was staying. I think that he was just passing through and stopped in for a drink and got to talking to the one that Mick said.
did he mention where he was headed in passing through?
No.
Interesting.
Didn't talk to him much. I don't need shoes.
Yeah.
Looked like the kind of guy who might have come from someplace fancier.
Was he Scottish?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Didn't tell me his name, though. Not that I can remember.
Someplace fancy. Granton-on-Spey, somewhere like that.
Well, maybe Inverness or someplace maybe a little bit better than Hulhane.
Tain. Metropolis.
Anyway.
Is Old Man McClarney in the inn? Is he there drinking?
He's not there right now. At this time of day?
He's sleeping off last night's drinks.
Hey, Tom, I have a question, but I don't want it to seem like metagaming, but I don't know.
I will answer it properly according to my GM skills. Go ahead.
Okay. I have a fairly high occult, and it seems that we're from the Blue Rose Society. Would I be aware of the existence of ghouls?
I'll give you a bonus dice if you want to roll on that one.
Okay. Because then I have a follow-up question.
I'll qualify that too, and the qualification is everybody in Arkham, everybody in the society knows. They don't know that they're real, but they definitely know the legends about.
I've heard of them. Okay. So I passed. Pass? 21.
Yeah, you've heard some pretty weird things about ghouls.
And then the reason awesome. I'm asking is specifically, I'm curious, does a ghoul only eat dead flesh?
I believe that they can eat living flesh, but their preferred food is dead flesh. Okay. Cadavers.
What are you thinking, George?
It's far-fetched. I'm wondering if maybe somebody is leaving fingers to feed the ghoul, to feed a ghoul in exchange for possibly access to the gold or wealth.
That does sound far-fetched.
That'll be my next article then.
Perhaps we're just dealing with some poor lunatic who imagines himself to be a ghoul.
The longer this draws on, the less likely it seems.
Anyway.
Well, if there hasn't been any sign since of the salesman, maybe this evening, if old man McClarney's in the inn, we can learn more about maybe where the salesman was heading, see if there's any lead to follow there.
All right. I doubt old man McClarney would have grilled the man on all those details. But anyways, it's worth a try. So what are you going to do now? You going to go back to the ruins?
Yes.
It's only about 1 o'clock.
Yes, I'd feel, if we're going to do anything in the ruins, I'd feel a bit happier doing it during daylight. So, yes,
that's good point. Hey, Tom, real quick, as we approach the top of the hill or the hillside where the ruins are, you said something about your picture on the screen. Is it the sort of thing where there's rocks or rubble strewn high enough that if we were walking around, would one of us disappear behind one of these?
Yes.
Okay. So it's possible we could lose sight of one another.
Yeah. The tower was probably, 50 to 80 feet tall when it was original. So there's piles of rubble all around.
Okay. I would ask you, maybe the innkeeper, if according to the local legends, if maybe the tower had any tunnels that went anywhere. Were there any kind of caves or tunnels underneath the tower?
He doesn't know that much about, the construction of such things, but I imagine everybody's got a basement. So even if it's just to store potatoes.
Yeah. Root cellar.
He says, there's a lot of talk about this well with gold in it. He says nobody's ever found a well up there. Them that's, gone in the daytime and looked around.
I assume with the prospect of treasure, a lot of people would have dared to search for it.
Well, a few younger people might have tried it, but they wouldn't go at night. Mm-hmm. It's possible the well was inside the building, in which case the building's collapsed on the well, whatever was the well.
Maybe if the well's collapsed, the hole is a kind of a makeshift tunnel that leads to somehow they found a way to dig to the bottom of the well through an alternate passage.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
I suppose it's possible, yeah.
Well, we're dancing around it. Are we headed down the well, down the hole?
Well, let's try to open it up as much as we can without collapsing it and try and get a better look.
Okay.
I'm going to step out of the game for just a moment and say we've got about an hour left. Now, if you guys want to go over, I'm perfectly fine with that, to play it until it's done.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, we shall continue.
All right, we're digging.
All right. So you head on back up to the hill, and you can see that with a fair amount of work and some heavy lifting and some moving stuff out of the way, you can widen the hole fairly well. And you do realize that there's a chance of partial collapse, but that's what the whole thing was boistered out for. And it was you definitely realize there was a rhyme and a reason to the way that it was done, so that it wouldn't collapse. But at this point, you can all fit if you want to, fairly easily. You still can't see very far into it because it curves.
Mm-hmm. And it's going down as it curves, so it would be we could all fit now, but we'd still be crawling essentially in order.
Right.
Okay.
I think that it would seem most safe to sort of sit down on the ground and scoot down into it. I mean, your feet would be going first, but at least you would be going. You wouldn't be if you went head first. You would be going like this.
Yeah.
You know, head first.
Okay. As the smallest of the group, I would imagine I'm probably the most mobile. So perhaps I should go first.
I would say I should probably go first, being the largest. I'd hate to have you guys get down ahead of me and me get blocked up and everyone's stuck in a hole.
That's a very good point, actually, yes. That is a good point.
What if we send one person down first?
Does it seem like the tunnel at this point is stable? I think the most treacherous thing could be if in the event of a cave-in, if one or more was a trap, then it could be that maybe something large went down there, maybe a person, maybe the person with the footprints, part of the tunnel collapsed, and what we're smelling is their corpse.
Well, once again, it doesn't really smell like a dead body. It smells like something weirder. But I would say, as you look at it and you sort of judge it by just common sense, you've disturbed some of the bottom of the tunnel, so at the very worst, you might slide a little as you round the corner, and you don't know what's down there. It could be a drop off, or it could be, you know, just right there, just no problem at all. You know that if it's a basement, it has to go down at least maybe 15 feet. That would make the most sense, possibly a little longer. As far as the sides and the top, they're relatively undisturbed. They've been there for hundreds of years. They're probably not going to come loose.
Okay.
Should perhaps one of us run back down to the village and see about getting a length of rope, just in case?
Roll a luck roll.
Four.
You already thought of that. You're holding it in your hand.
Oh, I say.
Well, Albert, if you'd like, I'll hold on to the rope and I'll be the first to go down.
Yes. I'm worried about that corner. We've no idea what's around that corner. So here, tie this around your midsection, and we'll belay you on the other end. So that's a mountaineering term. Picked it up on a mountaineering friend of mine.
All right. I would like you to do a climb roll, but you can have bonus dice. This is for Francis.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not quite familiar with bonus dice.
Oh, you can roll two. You roll your usual two. Just roll twice.
Okay.
It amounts to the same thing, and you use the better score.
Four was my second.
Okay, so you manage to get down without any trouble. It curves down. It does go down. It sort of does an S curve as it goes down. But you eventually come out of a hole that's roughly 3 feet off the ground, And when you step down, you're on a flat surface. It looks like it's dirt, but there's definitely some blocks of stone. So it's probably the floor of a basement. You're in a fairly large area. It reeks. It's even stronger of this horrible smell. It's definitely some sort of almost an animal smell, but weird somehow. You just can't put your finger on it. Now the area, you can tell immediately, I assume you had a flashlight. You look around. It definitely was at one point part of the basement. Part of it collapsed. The walls on some of the sides are definitely not the original walls. They're just fallen in piles of rubble. But there's definitely sort of a tunnel that you're in, a fairly large area, and there are three tunnels leading out of it. So you can say right, left, and middle. And it's very dark and very reeky.
All right.
The area you're in is about 20 feet around, roughly semicircular, or some roughly circular.
All right. I'm going to try and crawl back up the tunnel that I just shimmied down, trying to be as quietly as I can while still getting the message up.
Okay.
Hey, I've fallen into a room. I'm fine. The exit's only about 3 feet off the ground. It seems as though this is actually a separate entrance into the basement below the tower.
Okay. I would like you to do a listen roll. Okay. As you say that, as you finish saying that, behind you, inside the room, somewhere, you can hear what sounds like a clicking sort of sound, like rats or maybe teeth.
I'm going to swing my flashlight around the back here because I can't really sense originally.
You're not sure where it came from. It came from somewhere in here. Maybe we're down one of those tunnels.
I'm hearing some interesting noises, gentlemen.
At this point, I guess we would pick an order to make our way down if we can all fit.
Okay.
While still being very careful not to collapse the tunnel.
We don't have to go through all that. We can say that 5 minutes, you're all down there. All right.
Okay. Is the landing big enough for us to all fit? Are we kind of?
Yeah, you're basically in a room. Just imagine that at one time it was probably a large room, but it's mostly collapsed on the edges. So you're kind of in the middle of the room. The floor is partly blocks and partly dirt. And the roof above you is about 6 feet. So you might have to keep your head down, you know, as you're walking.
And is this still like a dug space, or is it actually leading into a architecture?
Both. It's definitely it was definitely architecture at one point. Probably when the tower got blown up, it collapsed, and it's been dug out since then. So
got it. I was trying to visualize it without the grid map and the miniatures.
But it could have been dug out quite a long time ago.
Okay.
And there are three passages.
Different directions. You're all gonna go.
Yeah, left, right. They're all sort of forward ahead of you, but there's left, right, and center.
Okay, thank you.
And they're not the same. They're not the same width. They're not like, you know, archways. They're just tunnel areas that have gone.
I suppose the immediate question then is: does any of them have any visible signs of traffic?
Not that you can see, but there's not like any indication. The ground is rock hard.
Oh, right. Okay. There's no bloody marks
No. Do another listen roll.
Nope. Well, that one's a zero, so it's going to be whatever that is, a six.
Okay. Those of you who passed, once again, definitely hear something disturbing, something like big rats or clicking sounds that are off in the distance. Something moving around back there in the dark.
What are you guys looking at?
I'm still hearing noise.
Yes, I can hear it too. There's something down there somewhere.
I didn't hear anything.
So it sounds like an animal.
Which one?
Can I tell which one?
No. Everything kind of echoes down here.
Just somewhere ahead of us. That's all. I can't even tell which tunnel it's down. I'm going to. I'm going to load my shotgun.
Maybe I'll call out and say, "Is anybody there?"
Okay. When you make noise. There's definitely something down there making noise. It's disturbed by you being down here.
Because of the echoes of the chamber, we're not able to determine which passageway it's coming from.
It might even be coming from multiple directions. Not behind you, but ahead of you.
Well, it wouldn't be uncommon to have rats in a underground tunnel.
True.
Which of the passages ahead of us is the largest?
The one to the right is the largest.
Well, should we choose one?
Well, my suggestion would be that if we proceed down one of these tunnels, we should probably whoever goes at the back should be sort of covering the retreat, as it were, to make sure that no one comes up behind us.
Maybe you should
Nothing
take
comes up behind us.
Maybe you should take the lead with your shotgun, and I can hold up the rear with my revolver.
Very well. Well, the one on... Pardon?
I have a revolver, too.
Ah, good. At least we have weapons. That's something. Well, the one on the right appears to be the largest tunnel. That would be the easiest one for us to...
Right is always right.
Okay, well, shall we?
Lead the way.
Okay, in that case, I'm going to step into the tunnel.
Okay. The tunnel goes in a fairly straight direction. It doesn't have any semblance of uniformity. It's wide, it's short, it's tall, it's just sort of going in that direction. And I would like you to do a listen roll. Whoever's going first.
28. No.
Okay. Whoever is second, do a listen roll.
That'd be me or Francis.
I can
maybe you're holding hands.
let's see. 36. I've got less than a 35. Can I spend the luck point?
Sure. What you notice is because your adrenaline is up, because you are becoming. Because you have a heightened awareness as you guys are down there, and you're listening very intently to hear anything. there are sounds that you guys are making that you become sort of intensely aware of. The sound of the blood rushing in your on your in your eardrums, the beat of your own heart, and the sudden sound of something crunching sort of under your feet, at least under Albert's feet. And as you look down, you see that he's just stepped on some little fragments of bone that are on the floor.
Gentlemen, I seem to have found something there. Seems as though Albert's been stepping on some bone fragments up in front there.
You start to look, and as this sort of becomes its own small room, I'd say it's no more than, you know, a 10 by 10 area with a fairly low roof. The roof is actually even lower, like 5 feet. So you have to hunch over. There are small fragments of bone strewn across the floor and maybe a small pile of them a little ways in. And they definitely look like finger bones.
You said it's just kind of a little pile. It's not like a catacombs where the whole we're just kind of walking on.
Just a little pile.
So in shining lights down, are any of the fingers intact? Do any of them look fresh, or are they all ancient, dried out, cracked bones?
They all look old and cracked, and in fact. Go ahead and do a spot hidden if you look really closely.
I'm also looking for Clarence's Harvard ring. I did not make the roll.
Okay. It's just, it looks like, and of course they're not intact. It looks like they're all in fragments. You don't really find any intact bones.
But they're intact enough we could tell they're finger bones.
Yeah. I mean, that's about that size. You can see the shape and curve of what look like finger bones.
Are there any exits from this room other than the
no.
passage?
You know? And you now hear noises behind you.
Okay.
So I'll
swing around and shine my light and kind of have my gun at the ready.
All right. Do a spot hidden.
Nope. My batteries are weak in my light.
Okay. You're not sure if it's just the play of shadows, but there might have been something there back down the passage.
I'll call out again. Is anybody there? Show yourself.
No answer, but you do continue to hear noises. There's definitely something moving around back there. And it's moving around now more than it did before.
Trapped. So we're convinced that there's something there, not just kind of, that, like you said, the play of shadows or our imagination from being in a...
Well, could be rats.
Yeah.
Could be cockroaches for all ever.
Well, we can't stay in here for the rest of the day. I think we should go back the way we came.
Are we at the end of this passage, or does it carry on?
It doesn't carry on. It's basically a hole where these bones are.
So we've reached the end of the first tunnel that we went into.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe we backtrack. Again, being very cautious. If we turn back the other way, that'll put me in the lead, so I'll be, you know, very, really trying to kind of identify the noise and the shape that I heard and saw.
Okay.
As we go.
So it's only about 20 feet back to where you were. You can see a little bit of light coming down the tunnel that you went up. So you can see where that tunnel is, okay, on the far wall. It's not bright. It's just barely there. as you, since Kurt, Alexander is in the lead this time, as you sort of step back into that center room, something coming out of the shadows to your right, it shuffles across the floor, and before you even have the chance to turn your flashlight in that direction, something hits you fairly hard. I need you to do a dexterity roll to see if you get knocked down.
Let's see, I've got a dex of 60, so and I made it. I rolled a 7.
Okay, you don't get knocked down, but as you turn for just a moment, now this, I'm going to describe this for each of you, but as you turn and look, you look down into the face of something that looks vaguely human. It's black, it's emaciated, it's covered in hair, its eyes are kind of a white, milky sort of look, and the shape of its face is kind of off. It's kind of got a muzzle, and as you look at it, it has four teeth on the top and the bottom that are like chisels, and it's taken its hands, which have long, long black fingers, and it sort of grabbed you, and at this moment, it's trying to work its way up your hand to get your hand in its mouth. Okay.
Sanity?
Well, we'll get to that in a second. We're like in frozen time at the moment. Those of you who are right behind him, you saw this big black hairy thing leap out of the shadows and try to knock Alexander down. It scares the shit out of you because it's almost a silent thing, except that you can hear the clicking of its teeth. All right. I'm going to let you guys, well, I'm going to let Kurt go first. Kurt, what are you going to do?
Scream and try not to, you know, we're in such close quarters here, not botch anything to where all of our guns go off. So not shoot because it's on me, but definitely scream and ah!
Okay. Help! Well, it's grappling you, so.
Well, I'll try. Well, let's see, I have my flashlight in one hand, my gun in the other. So if it's got me, let's say, by the flashlight hand, then I would try to, you know, use that hand to try and kind of push it off of me.
Okay. So to do a grapple roll against my grapple roll.
Is that strength?
It's your fight roll.
Brawl.
It's brawl.
Fighting brawl.
Okay, rolled a 42. I don't have brawl as a skill, so base is 25, so I did not make the roll.
Okay. You're unable to push it off, and it's extremely strong, and it attempts to get your, it's trying to pull your hand to its mouth, but it's not there yet. Gentlemen, what would you like to do?
I'm thinking I was probably second on the way back. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. That'll be right.
So I probably would have been close to Alex as we were walking. So I'm thinking I would have seen this happen.
Yes. You didn't anticipate it, but yes, you see it happening.
And seeing that it's already close and practically on top of Alex, I'm going to try to kick it rather than shoot it.
Okay. Go ahead.
I need my fingers to type.
Oh my.
What'd you do?
99.
In that case, I would like Alexander to do a dexterity roll once again.
I need my fingers to type.
Sorry, yeah.
And I made it. I rolled a 10.
Okay. George just kicked you in the shin pretty smartly, but it's, you didn't go down.
I'll cry out again. Ah! What are you doing?
Hold still. Hold still.
Francis.
So we've got like a kind of a brawl melee with two guys holding guns. nobody roll 100, please.
Well, I would like to grab the end of this creature with the least teeth and try and pull it off of my compatriot.
All right. Go ahead and do a grapple. I mean, a brawl. Okay, so you find it difficult to get a hold of it. Its hair is almost greasy. Okay. And Albert.
Well, given that I'm the last in line, am I even close enough to actually physically engage with it? Because I've got two other men in front of me.
Probably not. In fact, at this point, you're probably so stunned by the sudden commotion right in front of you. But you still can do something if you want. You can run.
Nowhere to go.
There's nowhere to go.
I have to climb over the others and that thing.
You can go hide in the bone hole.
You can run back to the bone hole and start digging.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to just sort of, you know, jockey for position, really, and sort of.
All right. Do you have a flashlight? Do you have a flashlight also?
I do, but I'm holding a shotgun at the moment, so I'm not.
You're not really holding a flashlight? No. Okay. All right. So
I'm relying on the light from the other three.
The creature is going to try and bite Alexander. So what I need you to do is I need you to roll a power roll against my power roll. Oh, boy.
Okay, I failed. I rolled a 72. My power is 40.
And I got a 15. So the thing bites down on one of your fingers. And I need you to do 1d4 damage.
And I'll definitely scream out in pain. 3 damage.
Okay. It is tearing your finger off at this point. Jeff.
And I would be just from the shock of the sudden attack and the pain, I would be screaming pretty maniacally.
Right.
But, you know, probably might want to make a sanity roll as well.
Yeah, at this point, you can do a sanity roll.
And being that it's so dark and, you know, with the commotion, swinging flashlights around, you know, to go back to George's question earlier, at this point, would we have had enough clarity and a good enough look at the thing to identify it as a ghoul or something else that maybe we see pictures of?
Well, if you went traditionally by a ghoul, ghouls have dog-like features. This thing almost has more like rat-like features or gopher-like features with these big incisors in the front of its mouth. Its eyes almost look like it has cataracts, you know, like the people with cataracts do. It's sort of a milky light blue. But in that moment, go ahead and do your sanity roll.
I passed sanity.
You did. Okay, well, take at least 2 points of sanity at that point. Do a spot hidden for me.
No.
No?
No.
Okay. All right. George.
Should the rest of us roll sanity too?
You're too in the moment at the moment. You'll roll it afterwards. George, I would like you to, before you do anything, do a spot hidden. Because you've got a flashlight, correct?
I do, yes. Yes, please.
To your supreme and unadulterated horror, your flashlight flashes past this thing and Alexander, and you realize that there is another one approaching from across the room. Looks like it's heading for Francis. Francis isn't looking at it. He doesn't see it coming.
Well, in that moment of time, I'm frozen because I don't know how to help Alex. Because this thing's already, it's bitten down on his finger, right? It's
right. Got a hold of him.
So I can't really grab it and pull it off because I'd be afraid of pulling off his finger. So I would like to try to shoot at the second one.
All right. Go ahead.
Hold your ears. 38, I believe, is a pass.
You have a shotgun?
Handgun, pistol.
Oh, cool. You hit it right in the chest, and it barely reacts as it continues coming after after Francis.
Oh my.
Okay. Francis, George has just fired off his gun right past your shoulder, at something behind you. What do you do?
Yep, you're muted.
Sorry.
He's dumbfounded. He has no words.
Well, he's deaf because of the muzzle blast.
Yeah, we all, none of us could hear you.
Yeah, I'm going to try and look at what he was shooting at.
Okay, and as you turn, you see this thing about to leap on you.
I'm going to attempt to get out of its way.
Okay, dodge roll.
Yes. 98.
And I got an 8. So the thing leaps through the air, and once again, it grapples you. So it's got you pinned, and it's trying to get to one of your hands. But I would like you to do a spot hidden roll as well.
I made my spot hidden, 36.
You notice in that instant, sort of a dreamy-like instant of clarity, you see that whatever that thing is that's leaped at you is wearing a ring on one of its fingers, and that one of its other fingers is missing.
Can I try and grab its hand with the ring on it?
Well, it's grappling you, so it's you're probably worried about trying to get to trying to get it from biting your finger off. But as you're struggling with it, you can see it's got a ring on and a missing finger. Albert, Mick, what do you do?
Well, given that this creature has just attacked Francis and he was standing in front of me, I'm going to shoot it. In fact, I don't know how close we are, but can I just literally just stick the barrel of my shotgun into the side of it and shoot it?
Which one? The one on Albert or the one
that's just jumped onto Francis?
Okay. Yes, I'll allow you to do that.
Because that's because he's right in front of me.
Go ahead and I want you to do a luck roll, though.
Okay. 44 out of 45.
Okay. Where are you placing the barrel of the gun?
Sort of in its torso.
Okay. You fire, and because of your close range, you literally seem to blow a big hole in the thing. And it rolls. I mean, it jerks violently as you do it, and it rolls onto the ground, and it seems to be, you know, struggling with the pain of what you just did to it, but it's not bleeding. There doesn't seem to be anything like blood coming out of it at all.
Oh, dear.
All right, let's jump back to Kurt. Alexander, I'll let you go first.
Yeah, total elapsed time at this point is probably about 10 seconds, right?
Not even that, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess it would be another round of struggling to dislodge my finger. It feels like it's you know, in a ton of pain. I don't know if I'd be thinking straight enough, especially with the sanity loss, to try and I'd just be trying to, you know, just rip my hand away at this point, not thinking clearly.
I think that definitely the thought that's most in your mind right now is you are about to lose a finger, and yeah, there's probably nothing you can do about it.
Right. So I think just in the panic of the moment, that's probably what I'd be doing is just try to get my hand back at all costs.
Okay. Do a strength roll.
I rolled the 100.
Oh boy. You like French kiss it. No, no, you. You try to push it off, but with no success. You're shaking, you're almost in shock, and it simply rips your finger completely off. And when it does, it pushes you away and scurries off, or starts to scurry off into the darkness with your finger.
I would just kind of, you know, from the momentum of trying to pull my hand away, and him pushing me away, I would just fall down at that point. And
okay,
again, still holding my gun.
You fall down and your finger is gone and there's blood. Jeff, George, what are you going to do?
I'm at a loss. I saw that my gun didn't have much effect. The other one that Albert shot, did it recover or is it still on the ground?
Well, that just happened. It's literally a split second ago that it happened. So it's lying on the ground, writhing.
I'm just going to try to shoot it again.
Okay. You're going to shoot that one? Okay.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Nope. 97.
Okay. You shoot, no, you don't shoot one of the other guys. I should make you shoot one of the other guys. You shoot him right in the shin where you kicked him. You fire your gun, but it has no effect at all. But you do notice that the creature who was shot is trying now to scramble away. And it's scrambling away towards the left-hand passage, the farthest one over. You also notice that the one that's running off with... boy, I wish I could remember your character's name like crazy. It's running off with Alexander's finger is also running towards the left-hand passage.
Okay.
All right. Next is Levi. Francis, what are you going to do?
I want to try. I'm panicked. I'm getting behind Albert. He just kind of saved my life from this.
All right. So you're moving backwards because you're afraid. I would like you to do a spot hidden roll.
29 success.
What's that?
29 success.
29 success. You can see in the light of your flashlight that there are at least two more of these creatures that are coming out of the central passageway.
Guys, there are two more coming from the central passageway.
You also notice, because you noticed the last time, that all of them have a missing finger and a ring on one of their fingers.
It's the McDougals. That's what I would think to myself.
It's the Clan McDougal.
Yeah. I say we get out of here, guys. There's a lot of these.
Pause for a moment. Somebody's making a clicking noise. So it's loud. It might be your, if your microphone is like on your computer or something, when you're hitting your mouse or something, it's making a click, click, click. Yeah, is anybody else hearing that?
Just me. I hear it.
Okay. All right. So Mick, Albert, what do you do?
These just draw my attention towards the two coming out of the passage.
Well, you definitely see Francis look in that direction and suddenly leap back and warn you all.
Okay, I think I would have been preoccupied with the one I was already dealing with.
He's now scrambling away towards where the other one went.
I'm going to shoot him again.
Okay.
I think I'm going to finish the job I bloody started.
Okay. He's about 6 or 7 feet away from you at this point.
45 out of 50.
All right. You shoot him again, but you're not quite as close. It doesn't seem to have that much effect on him as he's already scrambling. Maybe it does a little bit more damage to his backside, but he hasn't let up on his scrambling. So he's heading towards that passage, definitely. And you can also see the other two now coming.
Oh, blimey. I'm going to eject my cartridges if I've got time.
Okay. So back to Alexander. You are lying on the floor and your hand is bleeding.
Yeah, would I have taken more damage after the second round of actually losing the finger?
Well, I think that you were resolved that this was going to happen.
Yeah.
You're actually quite adult about it at this point. But you're still kind of partially incapacitated. Yeah.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't have took me too long to yell, get my finger back to the others.
Okay.
I guess at this point, I can start to kind of collect myself and take stock. Maybe the first wave of shock.
I'd say mostly you're angry. And,
yeah, and I'll try and maybe pull off a piece of my jacket or something to try and wrap my finger.
Okay, you probably have a handkerchief, so.
Yeah, unless any are coming towards me. If they are, then I would try to ready my gun.
You're kind of in the back, so they're over there. They're going to get to the other people first.
Okay, so I'll try and just try to staunch the bleeding as quickly as I can so I could get back on my feet.
Okay. So, Jeff, George.
Yeah, I'm going to try to shoot towards one of the ones coming at us.
All right.
Nope, 77.
Okay. You shoot, and you're shooting a regular gun, yes?
Yeah, 38.
Makes a loud noise, bullet ricochets off a rock, mm-hmm. but it doesn't hit anything. But there is a moment when the creatures that are coming at you suddenly hesitate at the sound. You also notice that there may be more of these things coming from behind from that same passage, the central passage. but they suddenly seem to sort of lose their aggression to come running at you because of all the gunshots. And two of them immediately run towards the third passage, the left passage. And I'll say that one of them hesitates and the other one's going to continue to attack. So it's coming at Francis at this point. Francis, what do you do? Oh, wait, you stepped back behind Alexander. Yes. All right, Alexander, you can go first. Because you're right in the front now.
So now I'm back on my feet and wondering if we should try and beat a retreat or if we should pursue down the passage.
Actually, I'm sorry. I meant Albert.
It's coming straight at me.
Right.
Right. I'm not going to have time to reload. I'll hit it with the butt of my shotgun.
Okay.
That's, I think, the only thing I can do. Which is
try 11. Reasoning. Try reasoning with it.
I got a 6. So you got an 11. We both got, you know, nearly extremes. Basically, you hit it right in the face with the butt end of your shotgun, and it, you know, pops back for a second, but it keeps coming. All right, it didn't really do any damage to it.
Tough little buggers.
Blimey.
Now we can do Francis, since you're right there too.
I'd like to try and pull this away from Albert.
Okay.
15. Success.
Was that a 15, you said?
Yes, 15 success.
Okay. You actually grab Albert and pull him back just as the thing is reaching for him, keeping it out of the thing's grasp. Kurt.
Okay, so now I'm back on my feet and would probably try and pursue. I think I would probably start off after the one that has my finger. It seems like just the most common reaction of everyone we've talked to who's lost a finger is immediately, I need to get it back. So am I feeling that instinct as well? Like,
sure. I mean, it might be something. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Maybe even like the suggestion of that psychologically would lead me to pursue.
I'm going to say that just as you make the decision that you're going to pursue, the other creatures, including the one that was about to grab Albert, they suddenly look back and they run towards the left-hand passageway and disappear into the darkness.
Okay.
So they're all gone.
Okay.
Now you can all do sanity rolls.
Including the other two that I saw coming towards us?
Yes. They seem to have been spooked or bothered by all the gunfire.
So at this point, they've all retreated, and it's back to just being us, right?
Correct.
21, that's a pass.
Pass.
All right. If you passed, you lose 2 points. If you failed, 1d4. 1d4 plus 1.
Ooh. So that's a total for me of 6. So that's more than 5. Would I be in a temporarily insane state?
Well, did you take 5 all at once?
Well, this whole interaction's only been probably a minute or less, right?
Yeah.
So I took the first 1d4 when I first got bit.
All right.
And then just took 4 more.
I don't know if I've used these and you've seen me use them, but. Yeah. Go ahead and tell me when to stop.
No red mist. Okay, stop.
All right. Flee in panic.
Okay.
So you run immediately to the passage leading up and scramble up as fast as you can. And for the next 10 rounds, actually 1d10. So
3.
So for the next 3 rounds, you're going to be out the hole and running down the hill. You might come to your senses by the time you reach the bottom of the hill, but
yeah,
you're out of your...
To get away from the hole.
Right. Gentlemen, what are you going to do?
Character-wise, I'm all for retreating, but from a gaming perspective,
I would like you all to do listen rolls, just the ones that are still down there.
Not successful.
Oh yes, 12 out of 20.
The craziness that just has happened and all the scrambling and all the fear, Albert, you think you hear the sound of splashing water.
Splashing water. Is it coming from the left-hand passage?
You think so.
It's the well.
I was going to suggest we retreat too, but then now that I see that they're running from us, I'm wondering if we should pursue.
Yes.
Maybe they're afraid of us.
I'm wondering if something happened a couple of weeks ago that someone dug in here a couple of weeks ago and opened the place up. And perhaps we could seal the place up again.
I will take advantage of this opportunity to notify everybody that each of these creatures were missing a finger and wearing the same looking ring. In case they had not noticed this part.
And at my last count, there were 6 of them?
Yes.
Which means there could be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It could be all of them.
Could be. But if this were the McDougals, and at this point, I don't care how far-fetched this sounds, if they were the McDougals, which undoubtedly is what we're all thinking, then how did they get turned into what they are now? There may be a 7th that infected them with something. Assuming they are the McDougals and it's not just a coincidence that there are 6 of them.
Are you all still all in the tunnel?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
We're just kind of like...
Well, I don't believe we're ever going to find out if we don't check down the passageway and see what they're doing.
Well, in the spirit of discovery, I agree. I think we should press on. I'm going to reload my shotgun at this point.
Okay. Yeah. Alexander reaches the bottom of the hill and sort of collapses down next to a big block of rock and sort of wraps his arms around it, like, because it represents something stable and firm. His mind is reeling, but he's slowly coming back to his senses. He can decide what he would like to do next.
Yeah, now that I've kind of come to a little bit, the first thing I would do is probably maybe see to my wound a little bit more carefully, and then head back after after my comrades.
All right. So you're heading back, and you'll join them in one round.
No, and I'll call out that I'm coming back, so you don't depart without me.
All right, folks. Well, you're still walking back up the hill, so struggling with your mind. So they don't know that you're coming back, but they'll know in a minute.
I've got my flashlight. I saw which way the monsters ran to, and assumed that if they're not in the tunnel, that they would have went in that direction.
Right. All right. Well, so
if you two get behind me and I don't know, just shine your torches past me, shine your flashlights past me, so I can see ahead, and I'll cover the way ahead with the shotgun, and I suggest we move very, very slowly.
Great.
And try and keep as quiet as possible. These things seem to react when they hear noise. I mean, with the shotgun, I think just the sound of it alone might push them back of me. Not sure how much damage it actually does. I mean, if these things are the McDougals, they're hundreds of years old. And they didn't bleed.
Mm-hmm. I'll just throw this out there. Do you think the ring has anything to do with it? What if we got the ring off their finger?
I was thinking the same thing.
I think anything's worth a try, isn't it?
I mean, I don't know how we would do that, but it's an idea.
Bite it off.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I'm a bucket here too.
Hold one of them down and bite its fingers off. That's
all right.
The taste of its own medicine.
As you approach that passage, you realize that it sort of twists to one side. But it doesn't look like it goes in that far. It goes in maybe 10 or 15 feet, and at the end of it, there is a well. All that's left of the well is a part of the rim, but there's still a well there.
Now, is the well full of water?
Well, you're going to look down the well. You're going to walk over there and tell, oh, hello.
Well, I'm going to wait for some. I'm going to wait for one of the other two to shine the flashlight down there.
Oh, you hear Alex come in. All right. When you flash your light down there, what you see is six of these hideous, hairy, rat-like people. They're sort of clinging to the walls of the well. They're half in the water. They're all looking up at you with their strange milky blue eyes, and they're retreating under the water, and they're hissing and clicking their teeth at you, but they rather quickly, they're completely submerged under the water.
Curiouser and curiouser.
Are they swimming out of our sight?
The well doesn't seem to go anywhere. It just seems to go straight down. It's hard to see when the light of your flashlight glares off the surface of the water, but you think that you might be able to see them in the water, just a foot or two under the surface, looking up at you.
I'm halfway tempted to drop boulders on these monsters, gentlemen.
That's not a bad idea.
Are there any larger loose rocks around that might be the right size to pick up?
I would say you could probably dig some of the blocks out of the... Like I said, there's a lot of dirt and blocks. Hopefully you wouldn't cause a collapse, but...
That would be my concern.
I think if you're careful...
I'd like to get
it. It would take quite a few blocks to fill up the well. The well's about 8 feet across.
Okay.
Well, I think maybe dig out one block and throw it down and see how they react.
Are we wanting to try to put the blocks in the well, or find big blocks that could cover the top of the well, or both?
I would like to drop them in the well onto the creature.
Yes, yeah.
Now, physically, the bigger blocks, there's no way that you guys could pick those up, but probably some of the smaller fragments you could. Something that weighs, oh, maybe 50 pounds is about the most that you could pick up and throw down there. Unless somebody has extraordinary strength. I don't know what kind of strength you guys have.
I'm fairly strong.
All right. Well, let's say you find...
I'm wee, but I'm wiry.
Let's say that you find five fairly large rocks that you feel that you could throw down there without dislodging anything around you.
Well, we could use one to test, gentlemen, and the other four we can simultaneously drop on them if we decide that that's the route we would like to go.
Yes, combined bombardment. All right. Yes, okay. Well, does someone want to throw a trial block? It was your idea. Would you like the honor?
Absolutely. So I'll go ahead and pick up the first block and try and drop it into the well.
What was that, George?
Bums away.
Oh, okay. All right. You pick up the rock and you fling it down at them. And you can see they sort of try to dodge, but it looks like you bean one right on the head. Of course, it's underwater. And you see the others sort of scrambling around, maybe getting themselves a little deeper in the water.
Was the rock big enough to kind of like push one or more of them down further into the well?
Maybe. It's hard to see what's going on under the water, but...
Yeah.
It does also kick up a lot of stuff in the water, so now the water's kind of cloudy.
Are there, and I can do a spot hidden, is there anything else in this chamber looking for any more finger bones or maybe intact fingers?
Nothing in here. Although I will admit to you that at this point you start to feel something gnawing at your finger.
So I get real fidgety and...
But you're expecting it. So, I mean, you've been expecting it since the moment it took your finger.
Yeah. I definitely started to kind of fiddle with it while trying not to agitate the wound. All right. But it's becoming distracting.
I would like you all to do a spot hidden, but with a penalty dice. So that means roll twice and pick the worst roll.
18.
Oh, I got an 8 and an 86.
So did any of you still manage to pass?
I failed, but by 2 points. So unless anyone else passed, I'll spend more luck points.
All right. I'll allow you to spend the luck points. You're jumpy. You're jumpy because of what's just happened.
Sure.
And out of the corner of your eye, you see what you think is a glint of light. You're not sure where it comes from because you're all standing around the well. As you turn, there is a flashlight shining on you from behind, and you hear a noise, a very distinctive click of a gun about to go off.
What are you doing, Alex?
What am I doing?
Actually, you guys are all staring in the well. It's only Jeff's character, George, that is now seeing this. and realize that you guys are about to get shot.
Yeah. I just was wondering. Like shotgun. I remember Alex said he was like coming up from behind us, and I was wondering, would I know that it's not him for sure?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think I've been in the room now for a few minutes. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. All right, guys. Let's see. What is my...
Is that time to yell anything?
Maybe, hey.
What are you doing?
As you yell, right. Hey, the shotgun goes off. And I'd like you all to do luck rolls, once again, with a penalty.
Oh, come on. I got an 02. That's got to count for something.
So that's pretty pass. Good. And, oh, God. Oh, that's also a pass.
You can't use luck points on a luck roll, can you?
No.
Okay, then I failed by one.
All right. Those of you who failed are going to get hit by a shotgun shot. So 1d4. Those of you who did not, who did pass, you don't get hit.
Okay. Those of us then who passed the luck roll, having passed the luck roll, I assume it will be impossible for a gun to go off, and even if we haven't been hit, we've noticed that the gun's gone off. There's a big flash and a boom.
Right.
Can I fire back?
At this point, you weren't facing that direction, so you didn't even see it coming. You don't even know what happened.
Okay. All right.
You can fire back next round.
Next round. Okay.
Plus, for the rest of us that didn't hear the approach, just the shock of the blast in such a small space would be pretty deafening.
That's definitely true. Right. Yeah. So you guys are all terrified, and I'd like you to do sanity rolls on that one.
Oh dear, 88. That's a fail.
Okay, I made that one.
I would have passed if I hadn't taken 2 points earlier.
All right, take another point of damage if you passed, and a couple points if you failed.
You said okay. Damage. You mean sanity, right?
Sanity. Sorry, yeah. Sanity. And in that moment, you can hear the pump action click, click of the shotgun that's pointed at you. What do you guys do?
Well, as I said, I'm firing.
All right.
Would I have a gun?
What were you going to say, Jeff?
I was going to say I had heard him, the click from before, so I'm wondering if I have a slight time advantage.
Yes, I'll give you that.
Okay. So first of all, I would, in my confusion, as this is all probably happening like so quickly, but in my confusion, I would be wanting to put my flashlight on him to see what just shot at us.
Okay.
So I'm also wondering if, or hoping that maybe the flashlight would like blind him.
Okay. That's good. What you see when you do that, we'll get back to you in a second, Mick, Albert, what you see in that moment is a man looks like he's probably in his late 30s. He's tall, he's blonde, and he's got a shotgun, obviously. Not particularly a good looking guy, but just average looking.
No one we've seen before?
No. But I want you to do a spot hidden.
Pass for me.
He's missing a finger.
Is he wearing a ring?
It looks like he's missing a finger, and it was stitched up, but it's had a couple of weeks to heal. All right. Mick, you said you were going to fire at him.
I certainly am, yes.
Go ahead. And he's blinded now by the flashlight in his eyes.
About how far away is he, by the way?
About 20 feet.
20 feet, okay. It's under 10 yards.
Yes.
Oh, I've got a 7. A 7, sir. A 7.
All right. What is it? And you got a shotgun. So what's your shotgun do?
So it's at that range, it's 4d6.
It's 4d6. All right.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it's 4d6. 46.
46.
Which is 5, 6.
Whoa, 11.
You hit the guy. Part of it hits his face. Part of it hits his neck. And he flies backwards, dropping his shotgun and landing sort of back against the wall right next to the exit going up on his back. What do you guys do?
Did he without close proximity, did he like blow a hole in him?
No, you did a lot of damage. He's almost dead.
Okay. Maybe then enough before he dies to try and approach him and say, who are you? Why are you doing this?
Well, you kind of shot him in the throat, so he's just gurgling.
Can he sign?
Has he got a wallet?
He does. He does, in fact, have a wallet. You're going to search him and find his wallet?
Yeah, I'm going to search him. Before I do that, though, as I head towards him, I'm going to kick the pump-action shotgun over towards George.
All right. Within 30 seconds or so, he's dead. But you find evidence on him that his name, according to his papers, is Ian Bannerman. And it looks like he's a salesman. You also notice that the shoes that he has are probably the boots that made the marks upstairs. He is missing a finger, and he has a rudimentary sort of medical kit in his jacket pocket.
Sutures, that kind of thing.
Well, I think we may have found our finger biter of Holhane.
So,
what are the creatures in the well doing? Are they trying to come back up? Are they?
Nope. You don't hear any noise from the well.
Is he wearing a ring that might look like the others?
No.
No ring. Should we continue then dropping the stones in the well? We still have these creatures to contend with.
I agree.
Yes, let's try it. I mean, at this point, though, I'm all for beating a retreat and trying to collapse the tunnel. But I'm not sure how we'd go about it. But let's see if we can achieve something by throwing the blocks down the well.
Yeah, because we don't know for sure that there's not another way out of the well, or that it leads into a water stream or some, you know, underground river that they might come out from somewhere else.
Has this altercation allowed the water time to clear up at all?
Not really. You know they're down there. They haven't come out. I told you could only find like 5 rocks, and you threw one down. There are definitely parts of this that look like with a little bit of effort you could collapse the whole things, but you'd probably bury yourselves alive. A good stick of dynamite, though, might blow the whole thing up. Where you're going to find dynamite...
Helmer is. So.
Well, there's no mines or anything around here.
Where did Mr. McDougal find the dynamite initially used in Ballpark Tower? You think there might be some stashed around here somewhere?
That was in the 1700s. He would have just found black powder, probably in kegs, and blew it up.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we can. Maybe a couple of us can keep watch out. If we retreat, a couple of us can keep watch outside the hole and make sure these things don't follow us out. And a couple of us can go see if there's any dynamite to be found in town.
What time is it now?
It's still only about 2 o'clock, maybe 3 o'clock. We'll say 3 o'clock. You still have hours of daylight.
I still like your idea about dropping the boulders like all at once. Maybe if we dropped all four.
I could at least buy us the time we need to get.
Yeah, I mean.
Yes, let's do that before we retreat then.
Okay. So you throw those.
Or. There is something else that we could throw down there. But I don't know how the rest of you would feel about this. I was just sort of, you know, wondering what would happen. But I was just wondering what would happen if we cut off one of this chap's fingers and threw that down there.
Well, he's already missing his finger.
He's got 9 others.
Yeah. They haven't shown any interest in having more than one finger from any one person, though. They could have easily tried to get more of mine. As I kind of am fidgeting with my bandaged up hand.
Well, let's stick with the original plan of throwing some blocks down there.
All right. So you throw your other 4 blocks that you found down there. Some of them are fairly large. You don't know what's happening. You imagine if they're down there that you're hitting them, possibly doing damage. But you get no reaction from the water any longer.
Was the stones big enough to assume that? You said the well was about 8 feet across, which is just fairly right. Large. These stones probably weren't. Even if they might have hit him in the head, maybe done a little bit of damage or pushed him down, probably not enough to actually block them from coming out should they want to, right?
No. Yeah. It would take tons of rubble to block the tunnel. I mean, if the whole area collapsed, then that would block it. But if one of these rocks that you threw down were to hit you in the head, it would have crushed your skull.
No. But these guys also took point blank gun blasts. To no effect. So these stones probably aren't having too much effect as far as hurting them. If it's not blocking their passage, then we probably need a better strategy.
Also, it's been some time, right? So they would have had to have come up for air if they were normal human beings?
Yes, you haven't seen them come up for air.
I think if they are the McDougals, and, you know, there's a story that we found in the church about their graves being desecrated, then maybe these are some kind of corpses that are animated. Maybe the rings have some kind of magic that that animated the corpses. So if they're undead, you know, our weapons wouldn't have much effect.
Yeah.
So I think whoever said that the rings could be the key may very well have been onto something.
The only downside is trying to fetch rings off of potentially animated corpses in the bottom of a gigantic well seems a little difficult.
Do an idea roll.
Everyone? Or?
Sure.
45 made mine.
All right.
I made mine.
There's a couple of things here. The people who live in the village have lived here for a long time, and they know better than to come up here in the dark. because something horrible might happen. They don't know what, but it might happen. So nothing has happened to anybody for a long, long time until 2 weeks ago. If that man, whoever he is, that Mr. Bannerman, if he somehow freed them, that's when all of this started. Burying them might be a good idea.
He does have the same first name as Ian McDougall.
Yeah.
But Ian is John. It's the most common name in the world.
Well, I say we try and collapse this tomb for these creatures.
It sounds like it's about to collapse already.
You know, though,
let's get out of here.
If we do collapse it, then these gentlemen who have lost their fingers are going to be tormented for who knows how long.
Oh, well.
Okay.
Sorry. I mean, that is awful. Nonetheless, who knows what horror these things could wreak if they were allowed to continue unabated. I mean, obviously, we have evidence of the paranormal right here, in front of us.
Yeah, we've got a story for the society.
But at the same time, we have to contain this mess. I'm wondering, we have some rope. I'm wondering whether we could use that to tie that off to some key structural point. And then from outside, pull a section down.
Do a luck roll, Mick.
That is, let's say, 18 out of 45.
Yeah, maybe. Some of those roof blocks don't look very stable. There might be a way to, you know, get something hooked in there and pull on a rope and bring the whole thing down. It'll be risky. You'll have to do it while you're standing at the entrance or at the opening going up.
Could we get our car up the side of this hill?
No.
Tie it onto the bumper?
Too much rock.
Yeah, too much rubble. Maybe. Well, I think it sounds like the best idea we have if we don't have access to dynamite.
If that area over there starts to collapse, you might be able to get out in time before it all collapses. It might not all collapse, but there's definitely a hanging area right over the well that you might be able to bury the well.
Well, I think we're at least going to have to try, aren't we?
Yeah.
That's where I cast my vote.
It's either that or we bring the priest back and try another exorcism.
I don't think that's going to work. They don't look like they're going to be frightened by even by a Church of Scotland minister.
All right, so is that what you're going to do?
Yep.
Yes.
All right. Well, say that you set the whole thing up. It takes you 15, 20 minutes. Now, one of you at least will have to stay down near the tunnel going up. The others might be able to pull from up above.
Well, I'll stay down there. I'm strong, small, and quick.
Okay.
I stand a decent chance of getting out, I think.
I would like, first of all, the other three to do a luck roll. Do a strength roll. That makes more sense.
Should I take a penalty because of my hand?
Yes, actually. You get only half of what you roll.
I got a 48. That's a pass.
70, then I failed.
Jeff failed.
I failed too, 89.
Okay. You tug on the rope. Mick, go ahead and do a strength roll.
I got 15 out of 60.
Okay, there's a moment when you see the block start to shift. It sticks for a second, and then it starts to shift again, and you see it start to fall. You see one block fall, and then a couple blocks, and then a bunch of blocks start to fall into the hole. And now do a dex roll to see how quickly you can get out of the hole.
Run! Kevin.
14 out of 70.
There you go.
That is an extreme, right on the nail.
You scramble up that hole, and gentlemen, you're up above. You can see that there's a pile of rubble right approximately on the ground, you know, where that is. It starts to collapse into the ground. Looking and after just a couple of seconds, there's a thunderous roar as part of this structure collapses. But none of you are injured, and you guys all make it out okay. Now what are you gonna do?
Well, how, Alex, how does your finger feel at this point?
Is it the same? Has anything changed in the?
You don't feel anything at the moment. I mean, other than what seems like normal pain.
Yeah, still ripped off. Still lots of adrenaline right. from the situation and trying to beat the cave in. Albert. It actually feels hurts, but it doesn't feel like it's being chewed up.
Splendid. Mr. Quinn, why don't you help Alex back down the hill?
No problem.
And I'm just going to linger back with Mr. Hampton for a moment. Strictly between you and me, this are we absolutely certain that
no.
this isn't something communicable?
Oh, no.
I mean, if the chap who had his finger bitten off, he was either biting off the fingers of women in the whole home to sate some sort of desire for fingers, or possibly doing it to give fingers to the things down there in the hole. Or maybe he was biting the fingers off because consuming fingers himself stopped the gnawing sensation that he was experiencing. Perhaps he was turning into one of those after having his finger bitten off by one of those.
Hmm.
I think we need to get back to the hotel and see how Clarence is, because I think that has a very key bearing on what happens next. Because otherwise we could potentially have some sort of epidemic on our hands if the women in Holhain and Alex and Clarence mm-hmm. all start
yep. doing this. Did nobody mentioned about getting Ian's body out of there either, right? He got buried in the collapse.
Yeah. I've still got his wallet.
Okay.
And you also figure that with not out too much difficulty, you can probably collapse this hole as well. You know, push the blocks.
We should certainly do that.
Push the blocks into it. All right, you accomplish all that within 15 or so minutes. And now it's just a 5-minute walk back to the...
You know, I initially thought you were going to say, are we certain that there's not another exit?
Well, no, we're not, are we?
I mean, Alex brought it up.
Mm.
You saw two of the passages. You never went down the central one.
might have to live with that.
Could well have been a large quantity of gold down there.
Yes. Damn it.
All right. So, I suppose at this point I can give you an epilogue.
And I would, you know, I'd go straight to Clarence in the hotel and climb in bed next to him and let David make us both soup.
Okay. Clarence, David tells you that Clarence, he was feeling a lot of pain earlier, but he suddenly stopped and said that the pain had just suddenly ceased. And he didn't know what happened. It was like it just went away, which was really surprising. And he really wanted to take the opportunity to get some sleep. So he's asleep. You all look in on him. And he seems a little cheerier. But he goes to sleep. Okay. Epilogue. Clarence seems to be suffering from a serious mental problem because of this pain. So you guys decide that you're going to take him back to London and have him checked out. Okay. You do that almost immediately. You and David and all that, you go back to London. But about 2 weeks after these incidents occur, Alexander, you suddenly get a sharp pain where your finger used to be, and it suddenly feels like somebody is fucking gnawing on your finger. And that's where we will end the story.
I would think to myself, the third tunnel.
All right. Now, you probably would like an explanation for what was going on. All right. What happened was the MacDougall family went into decline, as you found out in the histories. And Ian. One of the brothers, Andrew MacDougall, started dabbling in the occult, and he managed to make a deal with some dark mythos entity. But as I told you, their family was kind of religious. They were good church members. And Andrew did this with the best of intentions. And what the creature or the thing, whatever it was, the entity, promised him was gold. Now, the fact is, the well that you guys encountered was just the well. Just the well for the tower, the water well. There was no other well. Andrew just needed a way to make an excuse for how he suddenly had all of this gold that he was getting, which he was getting from the entity. And the entity's deal with him had been, I'm going to ask you for favors and you're going to have to fulfill them. Well, eventually, the entity wanted something from Andrew. And when Andrew found out what it was, we don't actually know what it was, but when he found out what it was, he was terrified and he went straight to the minister and said, please perform an exorcism, drive this thing out, whatever it is. Of course, that had absolutely no effect, but it made the thing pissed off. So what the thing did, this entity, is it snuck into their bedrooms at night and it bit one of their fingers off each. And it cast a spell on these fingers, which caused them to feel this agony. And eventually, they were all driven completely insane, and they died. And once they died, this entity dug them up, and it took the fingers that it had, and it put them down their throats, which reanimated them and made them into finger biters. So they were the McDougals. And their curse was that they would live forever in the darkness of this castle, in agony and pain, unless they could bite fingers off. But they couldn't go out in the daylight, so they were kind of trapped there all this time. Ian McDougall went to the United States, started over, and that's where Clarence's family came from. Now, the second part of the story is a traveling salesman, this Ian, whatever his name was, he came to town and heard some of the rumors that, you know, there used to be gold. There's a well filled with gold. So he went sneaking around there in the middle of the night, and he was attacked by one of these things, just the same way Clarence was later. And it kind of drove him bananas. And as a result, he became a thrall. He became enslaved to those things that were down there. And he just did whatever they wanted. There was a mental connection between them. So what he was doing was he was driving into Halhain, picking up a prostitute, knocking her out, bringing her back to the ruins, and letting the thing bite off her finger, and then driving her back and dumping her off. So that's what he was doing. Now, when you were in your battle, the creatures do have a self-preservation sort of thing. When it started going against them, they retreated into the well, which is what they would do. It was their sort of safe place. But they also sent out a mental message to Ian and had Ian come and try to kill you all to protect them. In any case, you collapsed the place. It had almost no effect on them whatsoever. Even if you killed one of them, the next day they would simply come back to life. The only way to destroy them would be to destroy them and the finger that's inside them. Fire would have probably worked, you know. But in any case, they're still there. And it wasn't Ian that dug those tunnels, it was them that dug those tunnels. So they'll just dig their way out eventually. And then they'll start getting people from town or whatever. You would hear rumors that you hadn't succeeded. You'd failed. So whether you go back and try to finish the job. Oh, Clarence, under the care of a physician, manages to survive, and so does Alexander, because if you can survive about a month or so, this thing has gnawed all the flesh off and all the bone and cracked the bone, and there's just not enough left for the spell to continue, so the pain would eventually go away. But it would take about a month of gnawing for this creature to do it.
I imagine Alex would have developed a opium habit before then.
Probably. So that's the story. And I'll go ahead and I'll finish it out.
How about Clarence? How did he get attacked? Just stumbled
exactly
upon?
What he said. He just was wandering around there, and one of those things came out and bit him. It saw him and took the opportunity to bite off a finger.
So it had nothing specifically to do with him being a McDougal.
Nope. Just stupid to be on the hill.
That was a good red herring, though.
Wrong place, wrong time.
All right.
And no real significance to the rings.
Nope. The rings were just McDougal rings. They were the McDougals. All right. So our players included Levi Carlston, Kurt LeBlanc, Mick Swan, Jeff Wilkins, and yours truly as the Keeper of the Secrets. Our musical intro, Wrong Turn, is used royalty-free from Purple Planet Music. We're currently producing 4 shows a week with music and sound effects added in post-production in order to create a richer listener experience. We provide audio-only versions of our shows free for you to download from Podbean or iTunes. Patrons of our show can now enjoy recordings of our pre- and post-game conversations. Some of the funniest stuff we say happens at that time. If you'd like to become a patron, visit our Patreon account. Just a few dollars a month will help us a lot. Like, share, and subscribe to our channel for updates on our latest shows, and leave us some comments. We'd love hearing from you. This is Tom Raley, together with all the members of our gaming club, inviting you to journey with us once again into the darkness for another adventure into the universe of H.P. Lovecraft and the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. Until next time, good luck and good gaming.